Some of you who may have been to the Philippines would understand. We say Happy Sabbath, Maligayang Sabado. Yes. Maligayang Sabado. Again, thank you so much for hosting us, the alumni of the Adventist University of the Philippines. Our meeting today, some of them are already here. The main meeting will be this afternoon in Brother Pablo's home. And we thank you for hosting us. It's a pleasure for me to visit in your area. This is the first time for me to be this part of California. But as you know, as our pastor mentioned, I teach church history in the seminary. And PUC, Pacific Union College, has a very important role in the founding of the church in our part of the world. And this morning, I'm so happy to be here in Lodi. I've been reading about Lodi, about the missionaries who come from the academy here and the families that support them. And I praise the Lord for being here this morning. The alumni will be our gathering today because we have a project. We have been working on it for several years. We are trying to start the Doctor of Medicine program in the Philippines. And we hope that we can open by next year. The Lord has blessed our university. The old name is PUC, not Pacific Union College, but Philippine Union College. Still PUC too. The Lord has blessed us for, we will be celebrating our 100 years a few years from now. But we have grown to 4,000 students for graduate and undergraduate, and about 1,000 for elementary and academy. PUC is the first school outside North America to have graduate programs, and the Lord has blessed us with a core group, a good group of courses that we are known in the Philippines, although we are small compared to other schools. But our nursing program, our medical laboratory science is increasing. Dentistry, we have 500 students now in dentistry. And by God's grace, if we open the medical program, our university will be in a situation where we can serve the Lord in our part of the world. In the Philippines alone, we have 11 hospitals. Indonesia, there are any Indonesians here? We have 4. And then, of course, our division belongs, aside from Indonesia, 300 million population. We have Bangladesh, we have Pakistan, we have Myanmar, and all of the other countries that belong to the 1040 window, as you may know. So please pray for us. But I'm not here to raise funds only. And I will not appeal this morning. I attended a few weeks ago a conference sponsored by the General Conference. You may have read about it in the Adventist News Network. Our church held an international conference on the Bible and science in Utah a few weeks ago. And it was a very, very important conference for many of us, for most of us, if not all of us who attended there. The theme of the conference was affirming creation. I think you have an idea why our church have to bring theologians and scientists and teachers, administrators from all over the world on a conference theme, affirming creation. Yes, we need to affirm creation. Because if we do not affirm creation, there will be no Sabbath keeper. The Sabbath is premised, you know, our lesson this morning. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 4 in 6 days. So affirming creation. So it's wonderful for us for me especially, first time to go to the Grand Canyon to see the different layers of rocks there pointing to the flood. But more significant for me was when I learned about the developments in the area of molecular biology. That it seems that today, the greatest evidence of a God who created the world and designed the world is not so much on rocks, but on what's inside our bodies. Our bodies and the level of complexity and sophistication on the cell level as pointing to a God who has designed a wonderful world. But we are aware too that these evidences that point to a creation, if we look at it from another perspective, also point to a problem. And what is that problem? The problem that even as we can say that we have a world designed by God, when people look around and see what's happening, the evil, the imperfection, it can also point to, it could also possibly lead people to believe differently that God is not good, that we have a problem in our world. As even before the time of Jesus, a Greek philosopher wrote, Lucretius was his name, he wrote, "The nature of the universe confirms it cannot have been created for us by divine power." That's his point of view. "It has so many faults." So if the world has so many faults, many problems, how can we say there's a God who designed all of this? Recently, 20 years ago, Stephen Jay Gould wrote, "Imperfection carries the day for evolution." So how do we as Christians reconcile all this? Do you believe that God created the world? Is God good? He is good. We rejoice in His grace and goodness. And yet, as we look at the imperfect world around us, as we ourselves experience the suffering and pain and inconsistencies and all of the frustrations that we experience in life, can we still say that God is competent as a designer? Can we still say that God is good when we look and when we see and experience the evil in us and around us? What can we say about suffering? And at the same time, say that this world was created by God, a good God. The passage I have selected for our sermon this morning is 1 Peter chapter 4. And just before verse 19, the Apostle Peter reminds us there of several things. In verse 12, the Apostle Peter reminds us that because we live in a world that is in the middle of a great controversy, we should expect suffering. In Asia, it's easier for us to say that. I'm not sure here in the United States when life is more comfortable. Those of you who are Asian, you know very well the philosophy. Have you seen the yin and yang symbol? Yeah? The yin and yang philosophy is life is composed of two things, good and bad. It's part of the nature of things. We don't agree with that, of course. We're looking forward to the day when there will be no more evil. But many Asian philosophies say suffering is part of the world. We have to just have to accept it. We Christians will not accept suffering because God has a better purpose for our world. But the Apostle Peter is saying because of the great controversy, suffering is part of life and even the innocent suffer. That's the hardest thing to accept. Even though you be careful that there are no toxins in your food, you're vegetarian all of your life, and still one can get cancer. Even the innocent suffer in this world. The Apostle Peter also reminds us, verse 13 and 14, that because suffering is part of our life, we just have to rejoice when we suffer. There's no other option that we have. Yes, we cry, we experience pain, but we must have the right attitude. He also mentions in verse 15 to 18 that of course, because of the great controversy and the fact that evil is present in our world, we also have to examine why we are suffering. He's mentioning in the text there, if you're suffering for your crimes, that's a different thing. But he was saying we must examine. And this morning, I would like, would allow me to focus with you verse on verse 19. The text is projected on the screen. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. I have a question that I have for you this morning. You notice there in that passage, the Apostle Peter connects suffering with the fact that God is a faithful Creator. In my mind, I usually think of God as Creator thousands of years ago. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And on the first day, He did this. You know, in my mind, I've been also thinking, God as Creator, that happened many, many years ago. Long, long time ago. Antediluvian, even before the flood, of course. But here, the Apostle Peter is connecting the fact that God is Creator to how or what we are experiencing today. What is the relationship of our present-day suffering, and how is the fact that God is a faithful Creator affect our understanding of life today as we go through life with its share of burdens and pain and suffering? You know, when we come to think of it, there are many ways that the Apostle Peter could have phrased this passage, this text. He could have said, when you're suffering according to the will of God, remember, we have a judge, a faithful judge. Many times when we're suffering, we ask, Lord, please avenge me. Please give me justice when we're suffering. But the Apostle Peter did not say, when you're suffering, think, you have a faithful judge. He could have also said, when you're suffering, think, remember, you have a faithful Savior. Many times when we suffer, we are saying, Lord, please save me. Stop it. It's enough. Please save me from my sufferings and the pain that I'm going through. Apostle Peter could have said, when you're suffering, don't forget, we have a faithful Savior. But the Apostle Peter said, when you're suffering, don't forget, we have a faithful Creator. What's the connection between suffering and always remembering that we have a faithful Creator? There must be something in it. Dear friends, when we're suffering, let's not forget that we have a faithful Creator. As in the beginning, when God said, let there be, remember? There was no light, and God said, in the Hebrew it's very powerful, God just said, light. Maybe it's not so strange for us anymore. We have now voice-activated, how will you call it now, gadgets? Light. How many of you have that in your home? You enter your door and you shout, light. And there's light. Do you have that? And then God said, land. And there was land. And God said, firmament. You know, it will be nice to live in a world when you enter and then you say, it's hot. Cold. And you have the, or cool. And on another day, God said, fishes. Oh, Asians eat rice and fish. It will be nice to go home, and then when you go home, you shout, rice! And there's rice. And you go home, and you shout, fish! And there's fish. And with the command, everything was there. It's amazing. With one word, the world, the things in the world appeared and took place. Again, I don't have much time. I was amazed with the fact that when God created animals and plants, the cells, the system was all complete. It didn't take years to evolve. Everything was there. Everything worked perfectly like a machine. I am not a scientist, but those of you in science, you can explain better how the different proteins connect and work together. The functioning, the instructions, how to replicate itself, the enzymes, everything with one word, by the power of God's word. Do you think that power of God as creator still works today? That even in our lives we have nothing, God said, money! Oh, money! For many years I've been praying. I was single for a long time, Pastor. So I was praying for the day when God said, sweetheart! Then I will have a sweetheart. Then when God said, wife! And I will have a wife. But you know, God still works today. God is creator. He has the ability to create things and to make things happen out of nothing. Were there instances in your life when you thought there will be nothing at all? You know, there are many Filipinos here, Asians or other. We come from big families and we didn't have much. And we were talking about recently during alumni meetings. We always say, remember when we had this life? There were 7 of us in the family. We had nothing. We never imagined we'll be able to go to school. Here you have free education, not in our part of the world. We have to work for it. We never imagined that we'll be able to study, we'll be able to have the life that we have. And yet when we look back, we say, the Lord created out of nothing. Now we have something. God still works today. So when we experience life and when we go through suffering, as the Apostle Peter reminds us, we have a faithful Creator. He is powerful. He has the ability to create things out of nothing. When everything seems to be impossible, God can speak. God can speak. We have a faithful Creator. He is not only a faithful Creator, He is a faithful Re-Creator. Even the things that are there and it doesn't look so good, God can recreate it. God can rearrange it. Do you believe that? God can rearrange the broken pieces of our life and He can create good out of the bad. You remember what Joseph told his brothers? You know Joseph? He experienced a lot of suffering. His brothers sold him. He had a good job. And then his master's wife arranged things. And it led to his being in the dungeon for years. He had a difficult life. But remember what he told his brothers when they met after so many years? Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. People may have evil intentions against us. People may be scheming. People may be maneuvering. Have you experienced that? Things in life? But by God's grace, and God has the power and the ability to reorder things in our lives, He is still creator today. Still creator today. Remember when Moses was reminding the children of Israel, they are now ready and poised to enter into the promised land. He was reminding them about the time when Balaam wanted to curse Israel. And cursed, he did. He wanted Israel to have misfortune, not to have a good ending. But Moses said, you know, Balaam gave you a curse. But you know what? The curse was turned into a blessing. How do you like that? God has the power to turn curse into a blessing. I know curses do not have much impact on us now. People curse every day. Little things they curse. But in our part of the world, in many parts of our world, you be careful when people curse you because words have power. And here Moses was saying, this person wants harm to come to you. But Moses is saying, God is able, He is creator. He can turn the curses into blessing. Curses into blessings. And of course, Romans chapter 8, that God has the ability to what? To work in all things so that the circumstances, what happens to us, will be according to His purpose. So my dear friends, yes, when we are suffering, let us not forget we have a Creator that is still working and powerful and able until today. The Apostle Peter also reminds us that God does not only have the power, but He also is faithful. He's faithful. The word here primarily refers to God has a fixed purpose. God will continue what He has planned for us. God is true. His purposes are unchangeable. Many times there are detours. Do you have many detours in your life? I have many detours which I thought don't lead to anywhere. Until years later, after the smoke has cleared and the emotions have died, then you can see, oh, it was not a detour at all. It was part of God's plan. Because we have a faithful Creator. Many years ago, I was traveling in the northern part of the Philippines, near where you went a few years ago. I was Ministerial Secretary of the Union and Missions Coordinator. I was visiting a community that has not been visited by a pastor yet. It's so remote that I have to travel 18 hours by bus. And then from the small airport, I will get a 6-seater plane. It will fly across the mountains just for 15 minutes across the mountains. But if I took a boat or a bus the other way around, it would have taken me 3 days. So I was there in the airport waiting for the small plane. I was there to do baptism. I was there to celebrate with them their first communion, the Lord's Supper. So I had the wine with me. My wife prepared for the bread. I brought the towels and the basins, everything to welcome the new converts into the Adventist Church. I was there on a Tuesday. I traveled Tuesday. I was there on Wednesday. There was no airplane. I waited in the afternoon, until the afternoon, no airplane. Thursday, no plane. It was still on the other side of the mountain. Friday, they said, it's coming today. Okay. And so I waited, still no plane. In the about noontime Friday, the plane came. So I lined up. I was ready to pay the ticket. And the agent at the office said, I'm sorry. You cannot ride on the first trip. Only 6 passengers. You have to wait for the second trip. And so I waited. The plane took off, and then I waited for it to come back. Then I said, it's so good. God is good. I will be there to celebrate the Sabbath with the new believers on the other side of the mountain. The plane never came back that day. And so I said, how long do I have to wait? And the agent said, we don't know, sir. We don't know, but you can be sure it's on the other side of the mountain. So I had appointments that Monday, and I said, if the plane comes and I have to do this stuff, I cannot wait for it. And so with a heavy heart, I rode back to Manila, another 12, 13 hours away, that late Friday evening. And I arrived in Manila, Sabbath morning. Monday morning, I saw on the newspaper a headline, very familiar name. I saw the name of the town, Palanan, where I'm supposed to go to. And on there, there's a picture. Near the ocean, there was the plane I'm supposed to take. But it was floating belly up. belly up, because it was trying to take off the day before, Sunday, and again there was a mechanical problem. If I rode that plane or I went ahead with the trip, I don't know. Maybe I would have been part of the accident too. So the Lord has His purpose. The Lord is faithful. The Lord arranges things. Many times we don't understand it, but the Lord is good. He is a faithful Creator. So what do we do? What do we do in the midst of suffering? Because we have a faithful Creator, the suggestions are there. Number one, we should commit our lives to the Lord. Surrender our lives to the Lord. In the Philippines, sorry for the Filipino illustrations. I'm not so sure if I give American illustrations, it might not be apt. I'm not sure. Now, during Valentine's Day, I'm not sure whether it's the same here. During Valentine's Day, many of the school children decorate their classrooms with red hearts. Is it the same here? So many years ago in the girls' dorm, I went to the girls' dorm. I saw, I was single, so I had to pay. I usually do my pilgrimage to the girls' dorm. So I saw their Valentine's Day, a lot of decorations with big heart. But this time, it was different. I saw there, it was a heart, all right. I knew it's a heart, but what they did was they cut it up, different with edges, and they spread it apart, and they posted it against a big piece of paper, white paper, and all the pieces of the heart was there, and at the bottom there was a sign, God can mend broken hearts, but He must have all the pieces. God can work with us in our suffering, in our pain, but we must commit all our lives to Him. He must have all the pieces so that God can work in our lives and be a faithful Creator. And the Apostle Peter is also saying, you are experiencing suffering, commit your life to the Lord. And another thing, you must continue doing good. When you suffer, when I suffer, and then we react, and then we do not do good, it adds to our suffering. Yeah? It adds to our suffering. You know, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. The Apostle Peter is saying, we have a faithful Creator. Let us commit our lives to Him. He's faithful. He's able. Commit everything, even though we don't understand what's happening, commit everything to the Lord. And while you're waiting for understanding why life is such, continue doing good. To close, let me recite here a Jewish prayer. You know the Jews, they have been suffering for thousands of years. And one of their benedictions they have in all the sufferings that they went through is this prayer. Every day, they're supposed to pray that prayer, 18 benedictions. They say, we give thanks to you that you are the Lord our God and the God of our fathers forever and ever. Through every generation, you have been the rock of our lives, the shield of our salvation. We give thanks, we will give you thanks and declare your praise, for our lives are committed into your hands, for our souls are entrusted to you. May that be our prayer as we go through life with the accompanying suffering and pain. Let us not forget that God is still Creator, even in the everyday.
Stand and sing the hymn number 92, or you'll be on the screen also. This is My Father's World.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hands the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King. Let the heavens ring. God reigns. Let the earth be glad.
Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we want to thank you that you are our faithful creator. We would like to entrust, to commit our lives into your hands. Take all that we are, that we have, and all that we do. And, O Lord, by your power and by your grace, may you fulfill your purposes in our lives. Father, thank you again that you are God, our creator God, and we are your children. Bless each one of us. May your Holy Spirit work in each of our lives. And may we experience your providence and your presence as you work in us every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.